Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
So, church, I'm finding it more and more difficult to preach. I mean, 40 years, right? And I'm finding it more and more difficult to preach. I love being honest because we live in a dishonest society. I'm finding it more and more difficult to preach because I think the word is heavy, but our hearts are running amok. And I don't know how many pastors are laying it out there, because we're not playing for what the world's playing for. We're playing for eternity. Within the last year, we've had Kelly and we had Isaac. By the way, I'm a lighthearted, love to have fun and all of that, but we're in serious days. Extremely serious. And when I was in the classroom, I never encouraged students to study on the day of the test. You're a day late and a dollar short and an F is on your way. I'm going to be talking in just a moment about being proactive. When I was coaching, we never tried to figure out before we hit the floor how to play the game. We prepared all week, depending on what the schedule was, so that when we did hit the floor, we weren't surprised by the opponent. I'm not sure if the church is being very proactive, because we'd rather be chummy-chummy and have fun and have friends than to tell people you're not going home without the blood. Where has the church gone? So let me break it down to you this way as we get ready to talk about the blood, because that's not what I wanted to talk about, but that's what he wants us to hear. We're at the time of the year where there's grad bashes going on all over. There will be prom nights, and then there's all kind of graduation events. And now all of a sudden, students are hitting the alarm button because they haven't turned in everything. They've missed unbelievable amount of days, and I told you it's tough being a pastor and an administrator. Is there any way that you can excuse? Is there any way that I can still go? Is there any way that you can release all of these days when I should have been in school and I wasn't? Please, I've got to graduate. Come on, church. When you have been told all the way through coming out of middle school to high school, credits are essential and your attendance and tardies. By the way, Levy County is way up on attendance issues and tardy issues. Wonder where that really originated. At the home. Hold on. I wonder how many people who come under the sound of a service, I wanted to say gospel, will march out into eternity without the blood of Jesus Christ because they had a great time, but nobody stood up and said, you must be born again. But when I get there, I'm going to have a discussion, and I'm going to have my mom and dad, and I had this kind of a phone call. I'm going to call my attorney this week. Well, your attorney would be Jesus Christ. And if he's not your savior, he's your judge. I heard that in devotions this week. I'm telling you now, some of you who have been listening are going, now I see why as a pastor, he's struggling more and more with bringing God's word, because we're living in a society that is saturated with entitlement. It's all about entitlement. And I'm going to bring a message this morning about the blood of Jesus Christ. I said to Robin last Friday night, I said, I want you to do a panoramic view, and I want you to look across this grad bash and just kind of give me a percentage. If Jesus blew the trumpet right now, how many of these kids would go to be with him? And Robin said, you always think this way. I said, huh? Not because of who I am, but because he called me and brought me out of a miry clay and put my feet on the solid rock. I look out and I see situations and I see events and I see individuals and I go, wow, we're so close to the coming of the Lord and the appearance of the Antichrist. Maybe some of you were wondering, man, doesn't Pastor even worship anymore? Straight up, I do all the time. But the Lord had me write this down on my phone. You will either take his name or his number. The Antichrist is going to hand out a number when he arrives. I hope that everybody in this house is under the name of Jesus Christ. To be under the name of Jesus Christ is to be bathed in his blood. And there's no forgiveness of sins without the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, this is, oh man, I don't know why I want to be here. I fully understand. Because sometimes I don't even want to preach. It's like, Lord, really? Is this what you called me for? Because I know how to just do all the fun things and create excitement. I know how to do all of that. But I'm accountable to the Lord. What if there's one person in here this morning that's not ready to meet the Lord, and they're not under the blood covenant? Do you understand that I'm responsible for that? And certainly not to you, and certainly not to the district. I stand before the God of creation for not honoring his word and saying, you must be born again. Parents, you need to put your children under the blood. I spoke several weeks ago the importance of praying and pleading the blood of Jesus Christ over this tri-county area. We are under severe attack. Well, Pastor, could you tell us why? Because God wants revival to break out in this region. So the enemy is counter-attacking that with everything that he's got. Proactive also means that we should be proactive in not only bringing people to Christ, but leading them into discipleship. Being proactive means we're not waiting for more events to take place in our tri-county area until we start playing at the next level. We start today. I mean, how much closer do we need to see what just took place this week? I'm not a knee-jerk type person like, oh my God, we gotta, are you kidding me? We have God's word. We know that there will be signs that the Lord will show of the coming of Jesus Christ. And we must make sure that everyone within our house and within the house here has heard the opportunity. We can't make anyone come to Christ. You can't force anybody to lay down their will for the will of the Savior. But we can get the word out to you. You must be born again. You must know that your sins are covered by the blood. I'm not going to speak as long as normal today because I want you to get a hold of a video at the end by Carmen. And I want you to look at Jesus in this video and the amount of blood that he was shed so that you and I could have our sins forgiven. Why all that blood? Well, let me ask you this. Why all those sins? And why do we continue to sin and live that way? We need the blood of Jesus Christ. So here's a confirmation moment as we get ready for God's word this morning. An individual called me in the middle of the week and they said, hey, do you have time to meet with me? I'd like for you to meet a missionary. I'm thinking, man, my schedule is so packed. I said, so okay, let's try this. How about 4 o'clock on Friday? I said, okay, that'd be great. So I left campus and got over here by 4 o'clock, and there was a missionary and his wife from the Philippines. Never seen this person, never met this person. We walked in, we sat down out front. He said, may I share my story with you? I said, absolutely. What's the story? He said, man, I had my act all together. Check this out now. He's never been here. He does not know me. And he said, I was really foolish. I started laughing. And I stopped him. I said, what? What'd you just say? He said, I was so foolish. He said, instead of building my life on the rock, for those that have been here the last few Sundays, I was building my life on the sand. Wise, foolish. When you will obey God, did you hear the emphasis? When you will obey God's word, he will give you confirmation that you're walking in the word. And so then I stopped him and I said, called him by name and I said, this blows me away. You and I have never met before, but you are bringing confirmation to what the people of God in this house have heard for the last 2 weeks. You can build on the rock and be wise, or you can build on the sand and be foolish. And so it was a great time. And he said, I'd like to go see where this word was delivered. I said, sure. We walked in here. He said, oh, my goodness, the presence of the Lord. Missionaries to the Philippines. Close that story. One more thing. You know, God will always double confirmation. He won't just give you one, because all of us sometimes go like, God, really, what's going on? Can you back that up? God will always back it up. So I'm reading my devotions on Thursday morning. This was actually the first one before Friday, of course. And Dr. Billy Graham in his morning devotions said this. Are you ready? Those who build their lives on the sand are self-willed. I said, oh, Dr. Graham. Whoa. So those who are building their lives on the rock have yielded their will, and those who are building their lives on the sands of the culture and whatever's cool and whatever is saying to do, that's self-will. And the only thing that stops the blood of Jesus Christ is our nasty, gnarly self-will. He's put it out there for us, the blood. But I want to make sure you understand, I'm not talking about you need to cut yourself. We have cutters, and put your blood so everybody can, no. The blood has already been applied. It's finished. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Make sure that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Make sure that you are not in your own covenant, but the covenant that God has given to you through his son, Jesus Christ. This house needs to be covered by the blood. Your homes need to be covered by the blood. Listen, I said this several months back. When we begin pleading the blood of Jesus Christ over our lives and over this region, we won't see as much blood on the streets or restaurants. Don't you remember that? We take the blood for granted. We act like it's no big deal. Come on, man, let's have fun. Let's party. And I'm not talking about wild parties. It's like the enemy does not want us to tone it down and trim it down so that we can get the word of God, because sometimes God's word is so abrasive to our wills. Notice who I just patted. God's word is so abrasive sometimes to me. But it's the thing that keeps me on the straight and narrow. God's word. So I want to ask you this morning, as we get ready to get into God's word for just a few moments, if the trumpet was to sound and that the voice of the Lord was to be heard, are you ready to meet Jesus Christ this morning? I'm not asking you to tell me. I'm asking, do you know that you know him as your personal Savior and Lord? I said to a couple of the men this morning as we were leaving the prayer area, with the way this world is shaping up and the things that are going on in our schools, you know what? Every day is a day when I go, I may not make it back home. Oh, I'll go home. But see, you got to play at that level. You got to think at that level. But when you live out in the county, when you live out in the country, all of a sudden you go, man, this is the way it's always been. No, it's not. Times have changed. And I'm inviting you this morning to take a look at God's word with me and ask yourself, has his blood been applied to my life? And am I ready to meet Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? I was just given this information this morning in regards to one of our officers here, his first name Kevin, and lost a child last night or yesterday afternoon. But see, I'm not in the miracle round, and many of you probably already know that. So I don't have any information, and nor am I trying to get any information. I'm saying that we are under attack, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ that will break that attack. Amen? That's what it is. The blood of Jesus Christ. The church should have never, ever moved away from the blood of Jesus Christ. Should never move away from the blood of Jesus Christ. I just want to present to you this morning, and there's actually seven, and I may just do two or three of them. I want you to recognize that your mediator, since I'm also an administrator, is not your principal. Can you sign off on this? Can you do this for me? The only mediator that you truly have is Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. Jesus Christ is your mediator. In Hebrews 9:22, listen very closely, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So Jesus died so that you and I could skip hell and make heaven. Charles Spurgeon said this, check it out. Morality may keep you out of jail, but it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to keep you out of hell. Whew, let me read that again. Morality may keep you out of jail. And I pray in Jesus' name, no young people, no adults have to go through that experience. But it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to keep you out of hell. By the way, this is not just for your thought process, like, okay, Pastor, I understand the blood of Jesus Christ and I accept that. No, it's got to go deeper than the head. It's got to go down into the heart so that your sins and my sins and our sins are covered by the blood. Hebrews 12:24, and Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. Oswald Chambers said, when Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross, it was not the blood of a martyr or the blood of one man for another. Think about this as you get ready to watch the video. It was the life of God poured out to redeem the world. Wow, it's a dangerous thing to go, no big deal, I don't even care about that. Whew. The blood of Jesus Christ opened up the covenant. I want to encourage you to walk in covenant with God. It is the covenant that will cover you. Matthew 26:28. Listen closely. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. Andrew Murray, I appreciate all of his writings, put it this way. The blood of Jesus was shed to unite us to God. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, we are separated. We are opposite of where we need to be. We are in isolation. But the blood of Jesus Christ brings you into relationship with God. Covenant. All marriages should be bathed in covenant. Robin and I walk in covenant. Does that mean we always see things eye to eye? Of course not. But we always come back together because of the covenant. Parents ought to begin covering their children with a covenant. They ought to be praying over their children about the blood of Jesus Christ. Not only are you in covenant, as the mediator presents that to you this morning, but I want you to realize that his blood purchased you and I. Check out this scripture, Acts 20:28. Be on guard for yourselves. You know what that says to me? I really shouldn't even have to preach this. You should be doing this on your own. Let me read it again. Be on your guard for yourselves and for all the flock. Whoop, that brings in the pastor. Among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, listen, which he purchased with his own blood. One of the things that always gets my hair to grow is when I hear teachers say, these are my students. You'll hear pastors say it too. This is my church. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not my church. This is his church. He purchased us with his blood. I could walk you into idolatry by telling you, you are my people. I am your pastor. No, I'm an under shepherd to the great shepherd, and he purchased you. I had nothing to do with that. That was really big for those who kind of like to always show that they're in charge and that it's my class or it's my home and it's my money. Really? We don't own a thing, ladies and gentlemen. There's not one thing that you own. You're a steward and you're accountable because you were purchased by his blood. So I pray with Robin every day. Father, make sure that each of our children and grandchildren have been purchased by the blood. Come on, church. You know, I'm grateful for the investment that our parents made into our lives and maybe some blessings they left behind. But the greatest thing that I will always remember is that they taught us that we are not our own. We've been bought with a price and that we belong to Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you this morning to be purchased by his blood, or the world will sell you out. Holy Spirit, help me pray. Number three, not only did God create a covenant for you and I, not only has he purchased us, but he's redeemed us. We were enslaved. We were enslaved. That's why I always think, and I'll be real gentle with this. That's why I think it's amazing to me how we like to call certain people or certain nations or cultures, they are slaves. Ladies and gentlemen, we were all born in sin. So that makes us slaves to sin. There's a few amens. I was a slave until I was redeemed by his blood. I was a slave. I don't care where I was born. It doesn't matter what my family name was. It doesn't matter what they gave to me. I was a slave. And Almon Gunner, my brother in the faith and close friend, said this the other day, and I wrote it down. It is hard to waken an enslaved mind. Man, I resent that. I can't believe that Dennis Weber stood up there and called me a slave. No, of course not. The Word did. So take it up with him. Ephesians 1:7, and here we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of trespasses. Man, let me tell you something. That's the sign of a slave. I trespassed against everything of God. I'm so glad my eyes are open. And I'm not talking these right now. I'm talking spiritually. I can see how I trespassed against God according to the riches of his grace. There were times that I have abused the grace of God. But he redeemed me out of that slavery. I wonder if our communities would be a little bit cleaner if pastors would just be a little bit cleaner in bringing the word. Just wondering. Because, see, we're just as human as you are, and I don't want to have to step off this platform and have people go, man, I can't stand him. Man, we don't like that. None of us like that. But if I don't bring God's word and you're here for one time and you walk out of here, this is on you. I already gave you an illustration about a person who was just here on Friday to give confirmation to the word that was preached the last two Sundays. You're either wise or you're foolish. Foolish people blow off the blood, and they will take the mark of the beast wherever that goes. A wise person goes, man, I've been a slave. I've been trapped. I have trespassed against everything. I'm one of the sneakiest snakes that has ever been created, but I'm coming to the cross, and I'm bowing at the foot of the cross, and I ask that my sins would be forgiven and that there would be a new nature and a new name, and I'm going to treat others the way he's treated me. I will forgive them. So now let's step to the intellectual side for just a moment. How do you and I know that we've been redeemed? Because we release ourselves and we release others. Come on now. Come on now. Listen to God's word. Released by his blood. Until the blood of Jesus Christ releases you, you're still a slave. I don't care where you grew up. I don't care who your mama, daddy is. I don't care about any of that. Neither does the word. It says we are enslaved. Until the blood releases us. Here's God's word, please. Revelation chapter 1, 5 to 6. To him who loves us, only someone who loves us will release us. To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, and he has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. I feel like that rich man who was in hell, hell's a reality, by the way, and from hell, he asked for permission for someone to go to his loved ones to let them know that what he had rejected, they should receive so they wouldn't end up there. Let me finish so you're right there with me. I would give anything right now if Kelly could stand here, Isaac could come back and stand here, and Tom Hammonds could come and stand right here and simply say to you, y'all should listen to your pastor under the anointing of God. But they're not going to come back. It's your decision what you do with the Word of God. I mean, I'd love to have Isaac come back and do one of those new songs of his and tell us all about heaven. That'd be great. And how the blood opened up the pearly gates and allowed him to walk down streets of gold because of the blood. I'm doing the best to hold back my emotions. Jesse Duplantis put it this way, the blood of Jesus washes away our past, and the name of Jesus opens up our future. I was listening to John Maxwell this morning on the 1 Minute Maxwell. Good coffee. And he said this, everyone struggles until they find their purpose in life. May I also add, without hurting his statement, until we have been released by the blood of Jesus Christ, we don't even know what our purpose is. And so then we're led by people who are off course. Well, let's go back over this real quick, shall we? As we kind of move to the finish line. Everyone needs a mediator, not an administrator, a mediator. That would be Jesus Christ. He has a covenant waiting on you this morning. He has purchased you. He's redeemed you. He's released you. Are you ready? And now he wants to clean us up from the inside out. Hebrews 9:14. Are you ready? How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works? Ooh, Almond, you were right. It's hard to wake up an enslaved mind. Well, what do you think our conscience is? Right here. Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. It's in the book of Romans, and several had asked me since the incidents over in Trenton, how could anyone do that? Well, the Bible has the answer. It says that God turns them over to a seared conscience. When your conscience has been seared and you're blood free, you'll do anything, including taking your own life. And on the authority of God's word, since I said it to my son, I'm going to say it in this house. I said to Joshua when that all broke, I said, Joshua Kenneth, do you understand that when he did what he did in that restaurant and went back to the vehicle and took his life, he went from Gilchrist to hell just like that. That's what happened. I'm not making fun. I'm not putting that person down. But we do not understand what we are really engaged with. Life and death. Life and death. I mean, it grieves my heart to think that, wow, one moment you're in a parking lot and you could be released from all of this and your conscience, but within moments you do all of that in the restaurant and then you go out and you take your life. Whew. Why'd you bring that up? I would encourage you to protect your conscience. And the best way to protect your conscience is plead the blood of Jesus Christ over your thought process. So young people, let me share this with you. I was young just a couple days ago because the Bible says our lives are like a vapor here and gone. When I was your age, teenagers, I gave the world and the flesh and the devil full access to my mind. And many of you are doing the same thing. Oh, I can't believe he said that. Okay, I'll say it again. You know exactly what I just said. When you give the enemy room upstairs, he will change the order of your life. I ask you this morning, if you are in Christ Jesus, plead the blood of Jesus Christ over your thoughts, over your conscience, over your will, over your steps. Well, I think this might be a good place because there's actually two more. Maybe I'll save it for next week. I know it's only 11, I know. But I want you to really embrace the video. Next Sunday, I want to talk about relationships by the blood. And then the last one, which is so important, I'll share next week. In a moment, we're going to watch a video. My greatest concern is not how well I preach, but how well we receive the Holy Spirit. It's not important to me anymore. It used to be to walk out going, yeah, I nailed that. Bam. Not anymore. Wow, man, people were impressed. I'm not interested in that. Wow, people think you're all... I'm not interested in that either. I'm wondering as I'm standing here and I'm listening to the voice of the Lord and I'm also speaking at the same time, how many put down all their guards and said, I got this message real clear. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Between now and the end of school year, there are going to be seniors who are going to come into the office and they're going to go, can you excuse all these absences when they knew what they were doing all along? Can you excuse all these tardies? And because we as parents have always yielded, we think that's how it is upstairs. It's not that way, ladies and gentlemen. But Jesus, can I role play for a moment? But Jesus, mommy and daddy were covered by the blood and I'm their firstborn. Thank you for bringing that up. In the Old Testament, if the blood of the lamb was not placed on the doorpost of the house, the firstborn was taken. I'm trying to help you prepare for eternity. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm not going to try to make you make that decision, but I want to make sure you clearly understand you must be born again. It's not the amount of services you go to, though the Bible says don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's not how much money you give. It's not the style of clothes you wear or the people you bring in. Are you ready to meet Jesus Christ? Is your name written down? Has the blood been applied to your life? Watch this. I want this to sink into your conscience. Man, I wish he'd stop. Man, I wish he'd stop. The Holy Spirit will never stop. He will engage you here and he will engage you out in the highways and byways of life. And he will remind you. Do you remember when my servant shared with you Jesus the mediator? Let me close by saying, and I've used my dad a lot through the years. Daddy, and I still call him that, he always made sure that we had family devotions, parents, and that we had forgiven each other, families, and that we knew when we went to bed that if Jesus was to come or we were to go, we were ready. Hold on. And they always wanted to make sure that our toes were clean. Hello, that would be my mom. She didn't want us to go to bed dirty. What are you doing, Dennis? Are you dirty? Just because you see a cool body in a casket, I'm not referring to, just because that doesn't mean anything. The Bible says man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. Oh man, they look so beautiful. Really? How does God see that? Covered by the blood or uncovered? Wow, this is way too serious, Pastor. Ooh, what about eternity? Are you ready to meet Jesus Christ? Do you know him? Not Forward Church. Because the enemy is a sneaky snake. Second time I've used that. He will get you off course and derail you and get you into all the things that's going on as long as he can damn your soul. That is his goal. You've got to play up. You've got to play high. Let's pray. Father, in a moment, we want to watch this video and just allow it to be absorbed in our hearts and in our minds. And we know that the blood of Jesus Christ not only forgives us of our sins, it's the blood that brings healing. And healing is not outdated. You will heal the sick in this room today. You can restore marriages. You can forgive You can break patterns that have enslaved us, i.e. Dennis Weber. You can liberate us and set us free from strong self-will, but only because of the blood. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm over all that too, ladies and gentlemen. As in trying to put you, you know, in a tough spot. I just wonder this morning, would there be those who would say, I just want to raise my hand, would you just pray for me? I'm going through some things, and some of the things that the Spirit of the Lord spoke through you touched my heart. I can see some things that have got to change. Thoughts, habits, attitudes, actions. I just want you to remember me in prayer, and I won't come to you and single you. I'm not about any of that. That's not me. And then if you're here also and you'd say, man, you know what? Woo, dude, when you were talking about Gilchrist County and you said one moment he's in Gilchrist County in a parking lot and within seconds he was in his eternal destination. Whoa. Pastor, man, I am not ready for that. I am not ready to take my last breath. I'm going to invite you to raise your hand too in just a moment. I'm not pushing the envelope. I'm not making you do that. I'm not trying to use the events that are going on to try to scare anyone into that. No, 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 no. I got to give you this quote too while your heads are bowed and perhaps you're talking to the Lord. And Almond has really been tightening up his walk with the Lord. He came on campus on Tuesday and he said, hey, coach, can I share something with you? I said, sure, what you got? He said, you never know what commitment is until excitement's been removed. There's way too much excitement in the church, the body of Christ. But I'm after commitment. That's what I'm about. You never know true commitment until excitement's been removed. So I don't want this to be just an exciting moment, because this has got to be a moment of commitment where you go, man, if my time is up, I have heard the word of the Lord today, and I want to make sure my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's nice to get a base hit. It's nice to have the winning whatever, whatever. It's nice to win the, all that is, oh, that's cool. But it has nothing to do with eternity. What's nice is if your name is written down and I can walk out of here today going, I delivered and they received. That's good mail. I delivered and they received. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.